When Roshi asked me to give a little talk, a number of things went through my mind. Number one, why me? Number two, what the heck was I going to talk about? And number three, it's going to be recorded. I'm actually going to be accountable for what I say to you folks. And then it was, oh yeah, I am accountable for everything that I say. So that brought me in the direction of right speech. And in the Eightfold Path, it's nestled between right thought and right action. So I really feel like we spend the rest of our lives getting those three in sync so that works out to the betterment of all. So when I started doing a little more reading on right speech, what came to mind were moments where I was doing wrong speech. I think of a conversation I had with my grandmother about 40, 50 years ago, and she called up and said, just made some new fresh bread and babka. Come on over. She's in Queens. I live near Patterson. Like, Grandma, you know how far away it is. I don't have the time. You know how much it costs to go across the George Washington Bridge. So I never went to get the bread. But of course, if she made that phone call today, I wouldn't be here. I'd be over the GWB no matter how much it costs to get the bread. But anyway. Another story that came to mind, which were a few, where I said something to somebody and the accountability was on the other person's face. You said something and the look on her face was like, you got to be kidding. So it's one of those instances where upon reflection, the next day I went back and brought flowers and a card that I was sorry to do that. And fortunately for me, she's still a friend of mine. But that left a lasting impression on me. So that brings me to a Hasidic tale that I read about a villager who was remorseful because he started to gossip about one of his neighbors and again thought about it, felt badly about it. So he went to his rabbi to ask him what he could do about it. Rabbi said, well, you go back to town, you get a chicken, pluck the chicken, and bring it to me. So the villager did that, takes the chicken to the rabbi, and the rabbi says, good. Now you go back into town and you pick up every single feather that you took off of that chicken. And the villager said, it's impossible. The feathers are all over the place. They're throughout the town. It's impossible. And the rabbi agreed. And then the villager had his aha moment that it's just done. It's just done. So anyway, let's see. Basho said, the temple bell stops, but the sound keeps coming out of the flowers. Well, I was thinking about that. I was thinking one of the flowers was, I had the opportunity as a teacher to work with pre-K kids at a school. And so when you first meet them, they're about 4 years old. And thinking about right speech, well, up until that point, I hadn't worked with children that young. But when you're giving instructions, you give it too broad, they're all over the place. You try to keep it narrow, and the looks on their faces are like, what the heck is she saying? So little did I know at that point that that was my start of this right speech thinking. Another story out of that pre-K group was one day we were outside. It wasn't a very large playground. We were playing something, and this boy comes up to me and goes, you know, Miss Jenny, you're the best gym teacher I ever had. And I'm thinking, Carlos, I'm the only gym teacher you've ever had. But thank you very much. I'm glad you enjoy it. Okay. One of the precepts has to do with saying bad things about your neighbors or anyone, which brings me into gossip. And one of the challenges somewhere was, if you're talking about somebody, talk about that person as if that person is right here with you. Which you would think isn't so hard to do, but when you really try to do it, I mean, I tried for a day, and it's taxing. It's taxing, but it's something I'm still working on. And maybe you want to try it for a day. Then the gossip also led me into teasing, how we playfully tease one another and we think it's funny and whatever. But in the end, we know in the end, someone is suffering somehow. And so think about that before you tease somebody. And when you're having conversations with yourself on the cushion, what kind of relationship do you have there? Are you teasing yourself? Are you gossiping? Are you being kind to yourself? Just something else to work on. A partner to write speech is deep listening. And I think of a time where I was with a relative of mine who apparently knew that his time on this earth wasn't that much longer. So he's asking me to help his wife out, you know, if she needs anything, would you be there? And my response, I mean, I said yes, but there was a lot of blah, 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 blah from me because I was really uncomfortable with what he was saying. And that was something that I remember next time, just listening. There is a voice that doesn't use words. Listen, says Rumi. Another article that I read, I did a lot of reading for this, said about the way we communicate now, these days, that people long unpracticed letter writing are now equipped with the technical capacity to churn out one quick email after another, or Facebook or whatever. And to me, lots of time, it just sounds like mindless speech. Why are we doing that? I don't know. Perhaps, again, quoting, filling precious silence with babble that matters to no one, just to hear our own voices or to cover over a silence in which anxiety might arise. So as a reminder to myself, to take a pause, take a breath, and think about whatever it is I'm going to say, is it worthy? Is it going to help anybody? Will it be compassionate, kind? And then when I was putting on my rock suit today, the last line is talking about saving all sentient beings, and saying that and saying the great vows that we will do at the end of this session. Again, I've gone through it, you know, just reciting it because that's what I recite. But after thinking about all the stuff that I've read and said, I wonder, you know, whatever I said, will it improve upon silence? I hope so. So on that happy note, I'm going to say to you, thank you for listening.